microwaved coffee.
What?
Hello.
Hola. Listeners of the Microwave Coffee Podcast.
Yeah.
We have an announcement.
Yeah, we have an announcement. We're very tired.
And we quit.
So we're quitting. We're going on hiatus. We're on a sabbatical. We're on a sabbatical.
Yeah.
This will be our last episode for a while.
Probably a really long while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll 15 have news.
Years. We'll be back in 15 years.
We're working on some other projects.
Yeah.
So this won't be like the last you hear of us. Maybe fortunately or unfortunately.
Yeah,
depending.
You know, some people are probably like, woo.
Yeah.
Thank
so
God.
Happy. Thank you God. Suck. Jeez, you're boring.
Why would they be listening to us?
Just to make sure we quit. I don't know. That's how dedicated they are.
That's how dedicated trolls are.
Yeah. No, we're going hiatus. And then we might, when we come back, might have some news for other stuff that we want to do. Mm-hmm. But we're all just busy, I guess. At least I am really busy.
It's just life. We're very stressed out.
So, just taking away one thing will be helpful, and then we'll be back.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So what's up?
What episode is this?
This is 115, I think.
Oh. That's a good number.
That's a good number.
Yeah, I like that number.
Yeah.
Nice if we made it to 120, but
okay. But I guess you guys don't want to.
Justin doesn't want to quit, but we're forcing him to.
We're making him. Apparently,
let's do 5 random episodes. Just me.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Oh no, it's 114.
114. Oh.
Oh, that's
114 is not as good as 115.
No, it's okay. Right. It fits us. It's very odd.
It's odd. Or even.
Yeah.
Mad joke.
See, you guys, we're losing our goddamn minds. We need a break.
But yeah. So what's been going on? I finished Dave.
Yeah, how was it?
Great.
Did you like
show.
It?
How many seasons?
There's 2, and I think there's 1 episode left, and they come out Thursday. So I'll watch the last episode on Thursday.
Nice.
But it's a really good show, not a comedy, so you're expecting to be laughing the entire time. It is funny, but not a comedy.
I'm glad you told me that.
I thought it was a comedy.
Because I went in. So do you know, I kind of, not that I didn't like it, I just, I didn't take that much of an interest in it. I will watch it eventually.
Yeah.
Before you guys get mad, but BoJack Horseman, like, I got the wrong impression of that show. People were telling me about it like it was hilarious, like it was like an anime, and I'm like, it's not that funny.
It's funny.
It has really funny parts, but it's like it's also really dark.
And this show, the first season is very dark,
mm-hmm.
and then the second season is not as dark, but all of it is pretty serious. I thought it was gonna be a funny show because I like Lil Dicky.
Uh-huh.
His like music is pretty cool, but I think it's because it's funny.
Yeah.
And so I figured the show would be funny. But it brings up a lot of like real topics, like him being white and going into hip hop and how they see him as like being privileged, which I think he acknowledges. And I think he does a good job of like talking about those issues. And then he has, and like, I hope he goes to therapy because he has a ton of issues from him being little, like when he was younger or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was always trying to like get people's attention or fit in and things like that.
Yeah.
And they deal with that too in a very like, I don't know, kind of really dark. Like, I don't want to spoil it because the scene that I'm thinking about is like so good that when you see it, it kind of like, like if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
It gets your attention.
Yeah.
Because it's trying to be funny, and then all of a sudden it's dark, like in a flip. Like, it's so crazy. And whoever wrote that scene is like a genius. It's so good.
Dang.
And then the second season is like a little bit funnier, but they deal with a lot of like friends, like real friend issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's cool. Like, I like sitcoms like where everyone's super happy, but I also like shows like this in Atlanta where like Yeah. I remember feeling like you can relate because like everyone I feel goes through those types of things or whatever. But
yeah, cool. I mean, I love those types of shows because it makes me feel better when I'm having like a rough time because I'm like, well, they made fun of, you know, they got something funny out of it. Like it's not, you'll get past it or you'll get through it or whatever.
And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool show. I would recommend it. If you liked Atlanta, if you've seen Atlanta, I think you would like this. Yeah. And if you haven't seen Atlanta, you should see it.
You should watch. It's one of the most underrated shows. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
It was really good. Yeah. Yeah. I binged that Atlanta like on a Saturday, all of it.
It's such an easy like, watch. It was so,
yeah. And what else did I do? I don't think I've done anything else.
Just work.
I was watching Dave as I was washing clothes. So mm-hmm. that's why I got through it. But yeah, no, I haven't been. I've been reading and work.
Yeah.
Work, weekend, work. Yeah. Work.
I started The Sopranos.
I do. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, cool. It's fucking fantastic.
It's so good, huh? So good. That's why I couldn't watch it because I was like, oh, this is going to be good. Like
I cannot stop watching it.
Yeah.
Like, I made Kyle start it.
First episode was like,
yeah.
Okay, I get it. Yeah.
You're hooked. Uh-huh. You know that this is going to be a great show from episode one. I made Kyle start watching it, and then he was like, he watched till episode 5 or 6, and then he's like, oh, will you wait for me? And I'm like, nope. It's like, no.
I won't wait for you.
I was like, tonight I'm going to finish season one. Like, tonight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm on season 2 now.
It's, How many seasons were there? God.
I think it's a lot. 19. I think it's like 6 or 7.
And they're like hour-long.
Hour-long episodes. Yeah. And there's 13 episodes per season.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I can't do it right now, but I know I'm going to love it.
Pauly and Syl are like my spirit animal. I love them so much. If something happens to them, I'm going to be so upset. Because they're like, one, they're like the biggest comedy relief in that show. And two, they're
I think it's like Game of Thrones, isn't it? God, like anyone can die type thing. I think it's like that, right? Where like people die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, I can see why people were hooked. When that show was on, I didn't have HBO. So I never watched any of those shows.
I mean, last year at the start of the quarantine, I had watched The Wire because it was the same thing where people were like, I had never run into anybody who said The Wire was bad. Everybody was like, it's the best show that's ever been written. And then I watched it and it was true. It's the best show I've ever, like one of the best shows I've ever seen on TV.
I still need to watch it.
It's so good. And then I was like, okay, what's next? The Sopranos, that's another one that I'm like, I've never heard anybody say it's a bad show. So I was like, I mean, people were really upset over the ending, which I don't know really what happens, but yeah, whatever.
I think it's like one of those like where you don't know.
There's a twist at the end.
I love that.
I
love it because it gets my imagination going and it like makes me fill in and I'm like, okay, what's, or also because it's interpretation. Like I don't know. I really like that.
Don't mind it sometimes, but sometimes I feel like it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was listening to an interview. Have you guys seen the movie Enemy?
Mm-mm.
It was like a...
Enemy Behind Lines?
It was like a small, like more of like an indie film, but Denis Villeneuve did it. The guy who's doing Dune and he did Blade Runner. Yeah. I was just listening to an interview with Jake Gyllenhaal because he's the main actor in that movie, and they asked him what that movie was about. He's like, I don't know. And then he was like, because when I first watched it, I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, it was the only movie where I've ever been upset when I'm like, I have no idea what just happened in this fucking movie. And then like, I asked my friend Lauren, who recommended it. She's like, oh, I was hoping you'd tell me. And I was like, what? And then they asked Jake Gyllenhaal and he was like, I don't fucking know. And then he was like, Denis doesn't even fucking know. He's like, nobody knows what that movie's about. It's a great movie, but it's like, what the fuck? Like the end is just, it's the most bizarre ending I've ever seen in my life where I'm like, what does that even mean? Oh, and then speaking of endings, the trailer for the, for Dexter came out. I don't know if you guys watched Dexter. I love that
show. I'm going to watch it. I gotta watch.
I love that show, and to all those of you listening, I fucking love the ending. Don't at me. I loved it so much.
I had like
yeah I think I like the ending too. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was it's like this battle that you have within yourself because you're like, am I really rooting for a fucking but he only kills bad people. So I'm like, I'm okay with that. Like,
I don't know, I can't.
He has a compulsion of like killing people, so he takes it out on people who like should be done. But
yeah, and I got that. And when
it's a
I
killer
heard
the, we deserve
when that show was announced, and I like heard like the premise, I was like, that's really cool. And then I actually saw it, and I was like, can't do it.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
Oh my gosh, I loved it. I actually, when I first heard about that show, I thought it was about a guy who was a serial killer and the government recruited him as a blood splatter and his sister thing. And then I started watching it and I was like, oh no, he does both.
Oh
like,
yeah, blood splatter analyst.
Yeah.
Like little strings and lines.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. Yeah. We watched the Vanessa and I think almost got like through the first season. And then eventually I was like, I can't do this. And then she, I think, watched like a few more. And then she was like, yeah, I couldn't do it either. And then
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked that. People. Yeah. Like I said, people hated the ending and I thought it was great. I loved it so much. So I was kind of upset when I heard that they were making another part. Yeah. Yeah. But then I saw the trailer and I was like, I'm excited now.
Yeah.
When does it come out?
I think September.
Oh, so it's already like shot stuff.
Yeah, it's done, I think.
That's just cool. One season, right?
I think so. I hope so. They need to not drag that shit out.
We're in it for another nine seasons.
It infuriates me. Kyle,
there's six seasons, right? Or seven?
Mm. Yeah, it was a bit. Yeah, Kyle gets so mad at me because he's like, here we go. She's going to start with her whole... Like, I hate the amount of remakes and like, it's just like there's, and I told Kyle, I was like, it makes me mad because I'm fucking unemployed. Like there are tons of talented people who need their scripts out there and who can't get them because we just keep remaking this shit. And I'm like, I don't know. That really frustrates me. Oh, he was watching, he finished WandaVision.
Oh, we started Loki.
Oh, you started it? I haven't.
We watched the first episode.
They watched the first episode of Loki, but Kyle watched all of WandaVision, and then I saw part of the last episode, and I was like, oh, so they're bringing X-Men people into it? And Kyle's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, because that's, what's his name? Evan Peters' character. Oh, no. Like, and then he was like, no. And I was like, what? No. And then he like explained it to me, and I was like, okay, am I understanding this? And I was like, they got the same fucking actor in the same world to play a completely different person. And
different
I'm like,
world.
Isn't it going to tie into it? And Kyle's like, no, it's a different world? Isn't it in the same?
No, they're not going to use the same X-Men from the same people. They're just going to bring in the characters, but not the same timeline, I guess.
Okay. So that was my question.
Yeah, it was a way
to... I was like, this is bananas. And Kyle was like, Kyle didn't understand why I was so confused. And I'm like...
Yeah,
So they did it on purpose to mess with people. It was like a big, like, kind of joke.
So they...
For those who haven't seen it, spoilers.
Yeah. So...
We should have said that earlier.
If they do... Yeah. Oh, well. Who cares?
I don't care. If you haven't seen it by now, you're probably not going to watch it.
So if they do bring in X-Men characters...
I just watched it.
Yeah. Like, so you're saying that if they do bring them in, it's not going to be the same actors.
Mm-mm.
That's okay. Yeah, see, that makes sense.
The only actor that's rumored to come back is Ryan Reynolds. Obviously, I think he's already got a contract. And I heard a rumor recently that they're trying to get Hugh Jackman to do something Wolverine-ish.
Okay. Because Kyle was making me feel crazy. Like, I was like, do you not understand how bananas this is? And he was like, no, I don't know what your problem is. It doesn't make sense.
Well, the other thing is that character already existed in Avengers. He just died.
Yeah, yeah.
So Quicksilver was already, he was the other guy. Kick-Ass, the guy from Kick-Ass. What's his name?
Yeah.
That actor was Quicksilver and this universe, and the mm-hmm. other guy was Quicksilver in the other universe, and people okay. wanted them to bring that Quicksilver back. So they used that as like a thing, but he was actually a different mm-hmm. thing. He's not even Quicksilver. He's just like, it was a different thing that was going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like so upset.
But see, people were trying to figure, it was like the talk of the internet, like people were trying to figure it out.
And they were trying to tie it in.
Yeah. And yeah, then yeah. At the end, like when you figure it out who he is, like 2 episodes before the last one, I think.
Yeah.
Everyone's like pissed and stuff. And then Marvel was just like, ah,
yeah, yeah.
We got you.
That's funny. Okay. That makes a lot more sense. I was like tearing my hair out. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. This is crazy.
No, yeah. Because, yeah, if you watch the whole season, it makes sense.
See, he didn't explain that to me, so I don't think he even got it.
Yeah. Kyle.
Oh, Kyle. Anywho. So anyways, this is Microwave Coffee Podcast, and I'm Kajan Zendi.
And I'm Ivan Ortega.
And I'm Justin Park.
For the last
time. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I was going to do this as my topic, but I was watching The Sopranos, and there's a scene where Tony Soprano is explaining to his kids how screwed Italian people have gotten in this country because they don't get credit for like actual contributions they've made to this world. And I learned something from The Sopranos. Alexander Graham Bell did not invent the telephone. It was Antonio Meucci. So that was going to be my subject in the future, but now that we're not doing it, I'm just going to say it. So yeah, it was an Italian guy named Antonio Meucci, and he could not afford the patent.
Oh, and so Bell.
And so Bell got it.
Yeah.
That asshole. Oh. I mean, you learn stuff as adults, like, you know, that... like
Santa isn't real. And
yeah. Yes. The real the crushing Easter Bunny, information. Yeah. Easter Bunny.
Tooth Fairy, all those
things. Yeah.
I got money for the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah,
you learned that Edison is a fucking hack and a fraud and a liar. Anywho.
I didn't get money. Guys, I screwed it up because I'm an idiot. And I told my mom that I knew she was the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, man.
And she was like, you're not getting money. I was like,
oh, no.
Damn it, Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
Why? So Tuesday is International Billiards Day.
Are
we going to play?
I wish. I'm very bad at it.
Next Tuesday or today?
But I just like it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Which is the
third? Yeah, the third.
One of those days. Yeah. I think one of you are right.
So let's talk about Masako Katsura. So Masako Kati Katsura was born on March 7th, 1913 in Tokyo. When she was 13, her father passed away, and so she decided to live with her sister and her brother-in-law, and they owned a billiards parlor. And so she began to play while she was at their place, and her brother-in-law taught her the basics of what's called, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, carom billiards, C-A-R-O-M. I still do not understand, even after doing this topic. I don't understand how this game works. It's the one with no pockets.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
You've never seen them? my cousins used to take me to a billiard hall in TJ every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen them, but I never understood how that game was played.
No pockets.
It has no pockets. Yeah. It's like some kind of point system. I'm not going to try to explain it to you guys. Because I'm like, it's so...
That's interesting.
I do not understand it. Yeah. So she was a professional in that, basically, that type. So she became kind of, she kind of fell in love with the game, and she spent almost all her time or all her spare time in the billiards hall practicing. By the time she was 14, she became a billiards attendant at the billiards hall. And she practiced by competing with the Japanese men that would come in.
What?
Yeah, that's
literally
it.
Literally a I've table showing, without pockets.
I don't even know what we wanted to see. Just filled in. The pockets are filled
in. We wanted to see it. It literally looks like a pool table without pockets.
Exactly what Kajan said.
Imagine one. That's what it looks like.
And I don't understand it. Like they would, I watched a couple competitions and they would like hit one of the balls and it would touch it and everybody would be like, woo. And I was like, I don't. What does that mean? Like, what does that mean?
You're like in How I Met Your Mother when they're playing that Chinese gambling game.
Wait. Oh, damn it. I thought I was going to remember the name of it. But
yeah, I don't know.
It's like Shin something.
Yeah.
So anyways. Yeah, so she started playing with Japanese men, and she would beat them. All of them, like, consistently. And so people were like, oh, who's this?
Physically beat them.
Yeah, beat them. She's like, come at me, bro. Yeah, let's go outside with the stick. When she was 15 years old, she started touring with her sisters, who were also incredible billiards players. In 1937, when Katsura was 24 years old, she caught the eye of billiards champion Kinri Matsuyama. Matsuyama was impressed by Katsura, and he decided to become her mentor and train her in professional competitions. By the time she was 34, Masako Katsura was not only one of the best billiards competitors in the world, she was Japan's only professional female billiards player.
Mm.
In 1947, Katsura was giving billiards exhibitions in Tokyo when she got the attention of U.S. Sergeant Vernon Greenleaf, and he all of a sudden became really interested in pool after seeing her. And so he was like, hey, I need lessons. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, and started giving him lessons. And then they started dating. And on November 30th, 1950, they got married. The following year, Greenleaf got stationed in the U.S. So that means that they had to leave Japan. And sadly, this meant that she could not compete in the 1952 World 3-Cushion Billiards Tournament. That's another term that kept coming up that I don't understand. Like the 3 cushions or whatever. So this type of pool, the one with the no pockets, we'll just call it that. There's 2 types of games that apparently you can play on this table. So I don't know the difference between them, but there's people specialize in one or the other, or can do both, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But she couldn't compete in that because she was technically from Japan. This was in the U.S. And so she would, you know, she couldn't be representing Japan because she was living in the U.S., I think. And like also could not be competing, something like that.
Yeah.
But she basically couldn't do it. And this was really disappointing news to professional billiards player Welker Cochran, who had heard so much about Katsura and was looking forward to competing against her. Cochran had a son who was a naval officer that was stationed in Japan. So he had him do some research on Katsura. And his son was like, when he asked, what did you find? His son was like, lol, she's better than you. Like, she's definitely better than you. And he was like, what? And they were like, yeah, she is like the talk of the town. She's been playing since she was like a kid. Like, she's really incredible. So Cochran was like really impressed by the research that his son found and spoke to the Billiards Congress of America and convinced them to make an exception and let her compete. So when she arrived in the U.S., moving there with her husband, Cochran invited her to an exhibition to see if she was as good as everybody had said, because he had never seen her play, but he had just like heard talk. After he saw her compete, he said, quote, she's the most marvelous thing I ever saw. She's liable to beat anybody, even Willie Hope, who at the time was one of the biggest pool champions. I cannot see any weak spots. She's going to give lots of those players fits. So after seeing her play, he said that she has a fine stroke and can make shots with either hand. I look forward to playing with her. Willie Hope said that, the other champion. Mm-hmm. He said, I look forward to playing with her after he saw her exhibition. Katsura's participation in the 1952 World...
I'm surprised they didn't like complain that she was like a woman or something.
Yeah, it was really weird because I read a lot about her being the only woman, but there was no resistance.
Yeah,
like no one was ever like, she's not allowed to play or anything, which happens in a lot of other sports. Yeah,
any sport, really.
Yeah.
And the fact that they want to play with her.
Yeah, it was like
I respect her out.
Yeah. It was kind of like a novelty. Like they were just like, they saw it, they were like, this is so cool. Like there's no female players. Like, and so it seemed like everybody was just really excited. Like I did not find one competitor that didn't want to play her or said she wouldn't be in it. So yeah, that was something different from our other topics.
Because I think up till now there is no, well, I won't say there isn't any, but I've seen competitions where like it's a guy versus a girl in the same, like they're playing for the same trophy or whatever.
Yeah.
Because when we worked at Apple, like I would get out late. Mm-hmm. And so when I would go home, that's what was on TV.
ESPN.
Yeah, it would be like pool competitions or like midnight poker or whatever it is. Yeah. And that's what I would watch to go to sleep because like nothing else was on.
Yeah, my friend used to be, she was like a competitive pool player.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, every time tournaments, I was like, why were, she'd be like, oh, I didn't get home till 6 a.m. or whatever. And I was like, why are you up so late? And she was like, that's what time, they start late. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Jeez.
Yeah. So Katsura's participation in the World Championship marked the first time that a woman had competed for any billiards title. This was only 10 years, or for any world title. This was only 10 years after Ruth McGuinness became the first woman to be invited to play at the Men's National Billiard Championship in New York. So this is in the U.S. In 1952, the competition grew crowds larger than any other tournament. Life magazine said, quote, San Franciscans who did not know a cube from a cucumber crowded in to see her. And they were like, Caddy stole the show. The tournament hosted by Cochran would take place over 17 days. Within that time, Katsura competed against her mentor, Matsuyama, and Willie Hope, who we talked about earlier, Mexican champion Joe Chamaco, Herb Hart of Chicago, Art Rubin of New York, Joe Procida of Los Angeles, and Ray Kilgore of San Francisco, Jay Bozeman of Vallejo, and Irving Crane. On March 7, 1952, which I think was the first or second day of the tournament, Katsura drew Irving Crane for her first match. So from what I understood, it was like a round robin type of competition. So they kind of like did a few with each other and would like, you know, decide who they're going to play against or until they drew down. And people said it was really peculiar because she was so tiny and Crane was like 6'5". Like he was like really, really tall. Mm-hmm. And the San Francisco Examiner said, quote, she was so small and doll-like, a figurine in her flowing gold satin gown. So one thing that she would do, she was very proud of her Japanese heritage. And so she would wear the traditional Japanese gowns to her, to a lot of her competitions, not all of them.
She would still win. It's like harder moving.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. I was like, aren't you like restrained? And not only are you like kind of restrained, but isn't that fabric really heavy? Like at least it looks really heavy. So I was like,
and then you have to like lean into the thing sometimes and like lift a leg. I'm like, how do you do that?
How do you do that? So that match was close, but Crane prevailed at 50-42. In 57 innings. That's another thing I learned. I didn't know innings were a thing in anything else but baseball.
I think it's like they play till one misses, right?
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I think from what I remember, this is the only thing I think I understood about how they were going. It's because they would just keep going, like boom, 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 put them all in and then take them out. They would break again.
Yeah.
And if, and like sometimes it'd be the same person, like, for a long time.
Yeah.
And then they would miss and then the other person would go for a long time.
What?
It was like even breaking the like the little triangle that they make, they would make one.
Yeah, when you break it, you make it.
Yeah, they break it and they make one in. So they just keep
solids
going.
Solids or stripes.
Gosh.
Yeah, I think they do solids or stripes. And then
you make in first.
But I think in most competitions that you have to put the other person, like once you're done with yours, you put theirs in and then you basically clear the table and then they start again. Cause it would be like them putting every single ball in.
Oh, so Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
Never miss.
So when you run out, it's not like it's over. You have to keep going.
Yeah, so like if you're solids, you put all solids in and then you're done. All right, now you got to put all the other ones in. It's like insane.
I want to play.
And then there's like another one.
Here we go. Here starts Justin's pool face.
Yeah, I'm going to get like my own.
There's another one where I don't think they pick solids or stripes. I think they have to put them in like in order, like 1, 2, 3, like so it doesn't matter where it is on the table, like they have to put the ball in, and they're like so good. They're so good.
So on March 10th, Katsura played Herb Hart and beat him 50-42 in 58 innings. On March 18th, Katsura beat Art Rubin 50-28. And she also played against Bozeman 50-18. So she was doing really well, but there were some like upsets in the tournament. And by the end of the tournament, Katsura had taken seventh place. So soon after the 1952 championships, Cochran announced that he was coming out of a 7-year retirement to play an exhibition with Katsura. So an exhibition tour, from my understanding, is more like a friendly match between the two of them. So I don't really know that they're too competitive about it during this. I think they just tour and kind of play in front of people. When Cochran returned from his tour with Katsura, he said, quote, "They could have sold seats on the toilet. They were drawing record crowds." Yeah. After the 1953, yeah, no, well,
life without TV.
I know,
that's what that is.
Gosh, I know, isn't that crazy? Like that was the thing.
That's
for you to
the
watch.
Entertainment, because yeah,
yeah. I mean, because we talked about that in our, I think what was one of our music episodes where we were saying like, you know, the Beatles, they became huge because like that was the only thing to watch. Like there was one TV program and all of the U.S.
Everyone
was watching it. Yeah. After the 1953 championship wrapped up, Katsura and Matsuyama, her mentor, gave an exhibition together in Long Beach. And sadly, this was the last time Katsura and Matsuyama would have an interaction. After returning to Japan, Matsuyama suffered a heart attack and he died on December 20th of 1953. Yeah, which she was really sad about. After that, Katsura went on an exhibition tour in the United States with 8-time world champion Welker Cochran and later 51-time champion Willie Hope, which were the two guys that we met earlier. In 1953 and 1954, she again competed for the World 3 Cushing Crown, taking 5th and 4th place respectively. So the 1954 World Tournament was held in Buenos Aires that year. And there was only 8 contestants. So it was Katsura, Ray Miller, Jackson, Michigan, Harold Wurz, and 2 Argentinian players, Juan and Ezequiel Navarra, who were brothers. And then Cochran also joined them for that tournament when he came out of retirement. And then the Mexican player, Chamaco, also played. It's such a funny last name. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, I don't think I've heard that.
Yeah, I've never heard
it that. Means like little kid or little punk.
Yeah. Like,
so it's like so funny to hear that name. Yeah. And as usual, Katsura was the only female contestant. So she made 30 exhibition appearances in 1958. She did a lot of tours. And then after that, people didn't see much of her. So she kind of said she was like basically retired. She wouldn't make a lot of appearances. Like she didn't really want to play anymore. And sadly, we don't know much about her after she like did those competitions. Mm-hmm. She moved back to Japan in 1990 and she died in 1995. She was 82 years old.
Wow.
So that's it. That's the story of world billiards champion Masako Katsura. And now I want to play pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to understand how that game works.
We have a pool table here.
We do. We have one downstairs in the common area.
How do you play it? You should ask your manager.
Yeah.
I think we can just like rent it
out.
Just, I'm sure.
Grab it from them.
Yeah.
But how?
But how though?
Yeah.
I used to love, so I'd go every Friday with my cousins. There was one right next to my grandma's house, right down the street. and TJ. So we would just like walk down there. And then right next to it was
a swimming pool.
No, there was a pool. Right across the street was a, what are those like remote control car race tracks?
Yeah, that's so cool.
And so you would go in and like, but I remember I didn't like going in there because it smelled a lot like fucking gasoline or some shit.
Probably gas powered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were like in an enclosed area and it was really small and I was like, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's so cool.
I don't know if that play, if the pool hall is still there. I don't think so. But
maybe.
I haven't played in a while. I think the last time I played was with Kyle. Like there was somewhere we went and they had like a table.
Remember when we had a table?
Oh wait, no, that was the last time I played when we had a table in our garage.
What, is that, you guys still have that?
Yeah, it's still there. Okay. Please, no one's gonna move that. Yeah, it took 11 men to move that.
We can go and play. Oh my god, it took like 15 people to move it.
So we had a total of 11 people that we got to move it.
That thing was so heavy.
We couldn't do it with 11, and then our neighbor Steve came out and was like, "Do you need help?"
Moved it by himself.
And then
moved it with his mind.
Is that amazing? And then,
Chang came.
I think someone else showed. Oh yeah, Chang showed up randomly, and we were like, "Thank God!"
Chang could do it himself.
Yeah.
Swole.
Yeah.
Swole Chang. Jeez. Swole Troll.
Was Troll there?
No.
Yeah, Troll was there. He was there. Yeah.
Everyone was there.
We called everybody we knew.
Wait,
like,
I forgot. Where was it from?
It was from a place downtown. It was from a bar that didn't want it anymore.
That's
but it was like brand new. And then, yeah that's probably like, why they didn't want it anymore. They were like, you take it. They straight up were like, you can have it if you can get it out of here. And so we rented a U-Haul and we were like, yeah, let's go.
Wait, how'd you guys get it on the?
We had the construction workers there who were working on the restaurant.
Oh, were they like, bye?
No.
Well, they probably lifted it.
Yeah, they were like that's fine. Yeah, there was a lot of them. But there was like 8 of them. So we were like,
jeez.
Shit, how are we going to get this home?
I can't.
I remember I remember who was looking at the base and was like, is it a line? Yeah. I was like, just put it down.
Who cares if it's a line? Just do it.
I'm sure it's not going to fall over.
Because it didn't have legs. It was like on a box.
It was on a box. Yeah. It was so funny. Ugh, and so then we played a few times.
Huh? We did.
Yeah.
We did use it a lot.
I played with Aaron and Abe a lot in there too.
Yeah.
Just randomly, we'd just go in and play.
That was such cool, like...
Yeah.
And then we just randomly played drums and music and stuff.
That it was a very, cool. It was a very fun, covers. Creative, creative area. But yeah,
let's go kick your family out.
I know. Give us that house back. We need it, dude. That could have been like the first influencer house. Like influencers copied us. We had the first influencer house.
Here's our garage. There's a pool table there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh. Well, yeah. Anywho, anyway. Well, thank you guys. Hopefully, we'll.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you guys with our next.
That actually, listen.
And thank you for consistently sticking with us for 114 episodes.
That's like 2 years.
Yeah, over 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
hot dog.
Yeah, well, hot dog.
I only got an Instagram for this podcast, so I might just delete my Instagram. come back to it when we.
Yeah,
when we have our new project,
better, and when we're not super busy.
Yeah, we'll have better planned episodes for you guys.
I think so.
Anywho, thank you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Peace. We'll see you in the future.
Catch you on the flippity flip.
Catch you on the flippity flip.
If you want to email us, it'll still be there.
Yeah, yeah. Our email will still be there.
MicWaveCoffeePodcast@gmail.com. Yay!
All right. Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Could I get some more coffee?